following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
Good to see you here. Glad you're here this evening. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is really hot. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Over the last couple months, we have been navigating through 1 Timothy, or I guess I'll say last couple of months. And last week, Brother Steve preached a very weighty text. A weighty text speaking to the God-ordained roles of men and women, postured in prayer and leaning on God's provision. And I think everyone understands this is a weighty work. To preach the word, to equip the saints, to lead the body of Christ as under shepherds to where God has called us, to serve from the distinct positions that he has given within our entrusted identity. See, the Lord has given us distinct roles. Men, as the leader of the home, as God has called you and ordained you to be, he does the same within the bride of Christ. Women, as you walk alongside and support and yet at the same time find moments of leadership even within in partnership, the Lord does the same for you. As you lead the body, as you help and serve alongside, it's a weighty work. Many times, when we have these conversations, sometimes we can have professed Christians who like to argue about the Bible. There's an old guy by the name of Warren Wiersbe. You may have heard of him. He's the pastor of a really large church, Moody Bible Church, in Chicago. But he used to say, I have learned that professed Christians who like to argue about the Bible are usually covering up some sin in their lives, are very insecure, or are usually unhappy at work at home. He's pretty blunt. And yet at the same time, when we consider the role that we're to play in the church, everyone has a role. Amen. Everyone's part of the body, the family of God. I remember growing up in the church down the bayou in Grand Cayou, and at the end of every service, we used to gather a big old circle, hold hands, and sing the old age song. I'm so glad that I'm part of the family of God. And as we consider being the family of God, it's important for each and every single one of us to know that no man, as Leonard Ravenhill once said, no man, no woman is greater than his or her prayer life. The pastor who is not praying is playing. The people who are not praying are straying. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. Many players and payers, few prayers. Many singers, few clingers. Lots of pastors, few wrestlers. Many fears, few tears. Much fashion, little passion. Many interferers, few intercessors. Many writers, but few fighters. I aim to be, my prayer is that you would aim to be someone who's passionate about the Word of God. Someone who adores the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and says, to you, I'll go wherever you lead. I love that hymn, wherever he leads, I'll go, right? That's our family motto. That's what we say. When God calls, we answer. Wherever God calls us to go, we go. It's been our anthem throughout the last few years, and when I consider God's word in 1 Timothy chapter 3, he lays out some very clear, weighty positional leadership that must be identified in the church, clarified for the church, and applied in the church. When you consider God's word, it's important. Yes, it's our word to preach for every single believer that's in Christ, right? As I just told our brother Gabriel, right? We are called to make disciples who make disciples of Jesus Christ. Every single one of us are called to do so. The Great Commission of Matthew 28 reminds us of that. And yet, as we go, it's important for us to know. It's ours to preach, but to convert souls, that is God's. It's ours to labor, but the success of that labor depends alone on Him. It's from that aim. I look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Not in a braggadocious way, but in the reality that we as brothers and sisters in Christ, we take this chapter to mean what it says. We take this chapter to honor what it says and apply what it says. The Apostle Paul is in the beginning of chapter 3 speaking about the leadership of the church, the gospel in church leadership. So I'm going to read the first 13 verses of chapter 3. We'll try to get as far as we can. The good thing is I'm preaching next week, next Sunday as well. So if we don't get all of this, we'll just push everything back and I will go from there. So that's just how we do as we preach the word of God expositionally. So the word of the Lord says this, beginning in verse 1, this saying is trustworthy. The Apostle Paul says, if anyone aspires to be an overseer, he desires a noble work. An overseer, therefore, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, self-controlled, sensible, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not an excessive drinker, not a bully, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not greedy. He must manage his own household competently and have his children under his control with all dignity. If anyone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of God's church? He must not be a new convert, or he might become conceited and incur the same condemnation as the devil. Furthermore, he must have a good reputation among outsiders so that he does not fall into disgrace and the devil's trap. Deacons, likewise, should be worthy of respect, not hypocritical, not drinking a lot of wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. They must also be tested first. If they prove blameless, then they can serve as deacons. Wives, too, must be worthy of respect, not slanderers, self-controlled, faithful in everything. Deacons are to be husbands of one wife, managing their children, their households competently. For those who have served well as deacons acquire a good standing for themselves and great boldness in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Pray with me. Father, we come to your word with the weight that it implies, with the weight that you've called and drawn men and families for this purpose, to help the church understand what it means to lead well, to help the men in the church to step up well, to call out pastors and teachers and deacons. Father, help us to learn well. Help us to apply your word with fullness and truth. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Looking at the word of God, this is the main idea that draws from these 13 verses. The question that often gets asked is, Pastor, this is about preachers and deacons. Why does this matter to me? And I would argue with you, church, it matters a great deal. It matters a great deal because church leadership affects every follower of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say that again. Church leadership follows every follower of Jesus Christ. A biblical model of church leadership is necessary for the church to display the glory of Christ in its worship and in its witness. I know that there's been many stories about people being hurt by church leadership. There's been many stories of folks who have had terrible experiences. And yet it's important for us to know, and maybe for a second, maybe that is you, it's important to know That wasn't the God of the Bible. That wasn't the call or the command of Scripture. Because the call and command of Scripture, according to God's word, is that one would be aware, that one would be surrendered, that one would have oneself in check. Because if you don't, there's no accountability. There's no faithfulness. There's no faithfulness. There's no accountability. There's lack of communication. When there's a lack of those things, there's a lack of teachability. And when there's a lack of teachability, you can bet yourself there's probably going to be no steadfastness. And yet we are called to be believers in Christ who deliver the facts of what it means to be a servant leader. So where are the foundations laid out in the text? Well, the Bible identifies in the very beginning, identifies two primary leadership roles in the church: elders, deacons. It's important for us to understand this in light of it. Elders are servant leaders. Deacons are leader servants. It's important to understand the two. It's important to see in light of Scripture. Churches can look different when it comes to leadership. It does. The challenge for us is to take an honest look at the non-negotiable truths in God's word. There's many churches that you may find themselves in a elder-led congregation. What does that mean? They may have a plurality of preachers in their staff. And as they have this plurality of preachers in their staff, they make sure that the congregation is very well aware. There are some churches that have single pastors. And so what's the antidote? What is the right one? And to this pastor who studied this so much, and I love this topic so much, I say amen. Because guess what? Here's the truth. There is no right answer. It's the one who is faithful. It's the one who is surrendered to the text. It's the one who has ultimate authority in Christ and Christ alone. When you consider this, churches can look different when it comes to leadership, the non-negotiable truths in God's word. We must be grounded in those truths and then consider how they can be best applied in the context of the family of faith, aka the church. But what is the point of church leadership? That is the question that we must first get to. What is the overarching point of it? Well, I'll tell you real quick two things. The first is a display of God's glory. A display of God's glory. The glory of Christ is displayed in the beauty of his bride. And as my brother said last week, his bride is the church. And guess what? He's coming back for the church. He's coming back for the church. And you know, if he came back today, what would that look like? Would it be churches that are faithful to the God of the word and the word of God? Or would it be churches that are having circuses? It's called for us to be mindful. The church should be a visual display of God's glory. Not to be an idol to be worshipped, but to worship the God of that place. When we consider God's word in this, we're to be mindful and alert of the ones who don't. And yet, there's a dependent on the gospel. A dependence on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing Paul mentions is possible without the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's important for all of us to see that there are character qualities that are here. There's roles and responsibilities of church leaders. They're only possible by Christ living in his people. There's no other way. Christ must be living in the people who are called by God to serve in the capacities that they are called to serve in. Jesus is the leader. People are qualified to teach only insofar as he is living and working within them. So the question is God living and working within you, elder, pastor, deacon? Is God living and working within you, church member who is seeking the very hands of God right now for the direction of where he would lead? When one considers that, there's four responsibilities of elders laid out in verses 1-7. It's very clear. He's beginning this discussion with church leadership. He's talking about elders. Why is that so important? It's so important because we have to understand what this word means. In our churches today, we get this so kind of all over the place. Yes, I'm talking about pastors. Before anyone want to throw anything at me, I'm talking about pastors. The word elder is fairly common in Scripture. In the Old Testament, for example, it's used to describe the leadership in Israel that assisted Moses. Exodus chapter 4. In the New Testament, it can refer to someone of a mature age, as echoed in 1 Timothy in chapter 5. A little later, we'll see that. Spiritual leaders in the Jewish community, as echoed out in Matthew 26. In the context of 1 Timothy 3, it is so significant for us to know that the term elder or elders is often used to describe a unique leadership role in the church. One that I would tell you that most would say they are not qualified at all with. And yet one at the same time that clarifies the fact that they could do nothing else because God told them to. When you consider this, nearly every church we know of in the New Testament is specifically said to have elders in the plural. If you study Greek, you will see it does speak to this in the plural. Acts chapter 20, verses 17 to 31 gives us a clear picture to that point. We read about Paul's address to the Ephesian elders. Sure, it speaks that, but let's look at the word before we start throwing darts. The word also is used in two other places, in two other descriptions. They describe the role of elders, pastors, and overseers. We know that these words are interchangeable because of passages like Titus chapter 1, which we explored a few months ago. Titus chapter 1, verses 5 to 9. Where Paul used the term elders in verse 5, overseer in verse 7, to refer to the same position of leadership. We see something similar with the elders in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. That Paul said, God has made these men overseers who are to shepherd. Even though they were previously referred, translates the word Greek word for shepherds. Why does that matter? Why are you talking about leadership? Because leadership affects every single church member. It affects the future of a church. It affects the direction of a church. When you consider Scripture, certain individual leaders are highlighted among God's people. But when we see the word elder, there's always, almost every single time, more than one of them in the body. And yet at the same time, the picture we have in Scripture is neither a dictatorship or a democracy. Instead, Christ entrusts elders to lead the church. So what are the responsibilities? First is to lead under the authority of Christ. One cannot move without the leading of Christ. To care for the body of Christ. To teach the word of Christ. To model the character of Christ. If God has entrusted his church to elders, then we need to consider the responsibilities of these leaders. It is helpful to look at Paul's address in Acts chapter 20. We get a good picture of what's expected. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 to 31, if you want to turn there. The responsibilities there is laid out. It says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock that the Holy Spirit, you see that the Holy Spirit has appointed you to as overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and men will rise up from your own number with the defiant doctrines to lure the disciples into following them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for 3 years, I did not stop warning each of you with tears. This is the Apostle Paul. He's talking to the church. He's reminding them, hey, stay guarded, stay alert, stay aware, stay in the word, stay grounded. Because if we're to be anything, we are called to be people of the book. We're called to be people who surrender to the word of God. We can't forget that elders belong to the church, so the elders don't have final authority over the church. He does. To that end, we give this to him. The first responsibility of elders is that they're to lead under the authority of Christ. This is a crazy, monumentous entrusting. And yet we see a day and age today where many fall. Why? Because if you were to survey of all the pastors who have fallen in the last 25 to 30 years, here's this one thing that can be clear. They had no accountability. They had no people running in circles with them. And yet we're called to be alert. And church, you're called to keep them accountable too. That's the responsibility. The church is held accountable in these passages for letting sin persist in the midst. Oh, wait. So does that mean I have a role to play in this church? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And that's such a beautiful thing when you consider about it. When you think about it, I have a role. My role is to keep my pastor aware that I'm watching. That I'm a Berean, as the book of Acts in chapter 17 says, that I'm watching, I'm looking at the scriptures, I'm looking at the word, I'm trying to get understanding of this. And guess what? When the church is doing that and the pastor is doing it, guess what happens naturally? We start doing what the word says. And then we start seeing the waters fill. And then we start seeing folks called out to serve the Lord. I just heard a beautiful prayer from a daddy to a son that said, God has got great plans for you, son. Oh my word, let it be said that we are constantly calling that into the lives of every generation. Because there's this reality. There's some people, I'll share the story of Gary Alley. Gary Alley, I may have shared this before. Gary Alley lived entire career as an electrical engineer before he became one of my colleagues in the PhD department at New Orleans Seminary. 72 years old, pursuing a PhD on the same day we walked the stage together. This brother said it very clearly. God was not through with me yet, so I'm still going to keep moving and growing. But guess what? God's not through with you either. He's called you to step up, to maybe even serve, maybe preach the word. He's called you. And yet we got to understand in which capacity we are called. The church is held accountable. This is why we call elders our servant leaders, because even though God has given elders to guide us, they lead as servants of the church and as those who belong to the church. Elders are appointed by the Spirit of God. In a couple of weeks, it'll be 4 years that God called my family and I to begin our tenure at Emmanuel. Nearly 4 years ago, I had just preached, I was probably 2 weeks in now, of being affirmed and wrapping up my time in Thibodeau, serving as a student and college pastor there. And I'll never forget the trajectory of all of that and thinking of the weightiness that was now about to be there, and yet the peace of it all. The peace. Not knowing where the Lord would take us. And here we are looking 4 years later and thinking, God, what a God we serve. Through the arrows, through the darts, through the pain, through the suffering, through all the highs, the lows, and looking even today and seeing the work is not done. God continues to move his people. The church is Christ. At the end of the day, it's important for us to know in this text, if anyone aspires to be an overseer, he desires a noble work. An overseer does, therefore must be above reproach. He doesn't go seeking it out. God draws the man for the hour. In addition to being appointed by the Spirit of God, elders are accountable to the Son of God. Paul told the Ephesian elders to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. You catch that last phrase? With his own blood. We can't approach church leadership lightly when we realize the gravity of that. Leading the church was never designed to be a power struggle. It is to be one that is in surrender because Jesus is in control and he has all the power in the church. And therefore, every leader in the church is accountable to him. This perspective brings the proper humility, even fear, to church leadership. The second responsibility of elders from Acts chapter 20 and laying out is in this is the care for the body. We must care for the body of Jesus Christ. Do you love his church? Because many of us, sometimes we say, well, I love God Almighty. I love the Lord. But I don't like his people. And yet we got to be mindful. We're called to love the Lord God Almighty, yes, and love his people, no matter who steps through the door. I know some people are harder to love, but man, we got to love them. We got to care for them. 1 Peter 5:2 says, shepherd God's flock among you. So what does it look like to shepherd or care for the flock? It's messy. But yet, we serve them anyway. Or as the first hymn said, as Psalm 100 says, we serve the Lord with gladness. We serve him with gladness. It means, first of all, the elders protect the flock. Look, the church, Paul told the elders to be on guard against false doctrine, expect false teachers, individuals whom Paul referred to as savage wolves. Elders, according to the text in 1 Timothy, have a God-given responsibility to guard their own lives and the life of the church. This is AKA spiritual warfare. Deep in the trenches of it. This is the battle. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is against the enemy who prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to steal, kill, and destroy. And we must be a people who say, enough is enough. We're going to be grounded in where we are at in being people of the word. Paul committed the Ephesian elders to the word in Acts chapter 20, verse 32. He says, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all who are sanctified. What does that mean? Well, it's important for us to understand the order, right? First, you are justified, freed from the penalty of sin. And then as we walk in Jesus Christ, we are constantly becoming sanctified. What does that mean? That means I am free from the power of sin, even though my flesh wages war with the Holy Spirit indwelt within me. I'm becoming more and more conformed to the image of Christ as I surrender to Christ. As I grow in Christ, as I seek to know him day in and day out. The text reminds the elders and in turn reminds the people that the elders' responsibility is not just to pet the sheep. Caring for the body of Christ involves feeding the sheep. You must hear the word in its totality. You must hear what it means to what to look out for, who to look for, what to be aware of. When you consider the responsibility of this, the other responsibility is that we're to teach the word of Christ. Right? All scripture is God-breathed. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that is right living. So that the man, woman, young person of God is thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Man, we're to be a people who seek to know the word. Not only know it, but apply it. And when we consider the words of God in this moment, when we look at it, the word alone has the power to build up the church, which means the elders' leadership is tied to the word. And we must be tied to the word. If the elder knows the word and obeys the word, then he is fit to lead the church. If he wanders from the word, he is no longer fit to lead the church. We don't follow elders or pastors simply because they have a position. We follow them because they know the word, teach the word, and follow the word. And that is to what we are called to aim for. The requirement to teach the word of Christ means that elders must know the word extensively. They study it. We memorize it, meditate on it. They know why they believe what they believe. We should understand this. We should seek the word. Equipped by the word to address hard questions in the church. And man, sometimes you get some harder ones. And we also know what the word says about practical issues. Family, life, interaction with the culture, numerous social issues that are constantly coming at us. And yet all the more, we must know the word. Why is that important for you? It's important for you because it affects every member of the church. The next responsibility of the elders is to model the character of Christ. So this is something that everyone is called to do. The character of Christ. What is the character of Christ? The God is all loving, all knowing, all powerful. But our job isn't to be the ones who think we know it all, the ones who think that we're always making every single hour stop, the ones who think that we are on top of the world doing everything. No. It's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Many of that, the qualities and the qualifications and responsibilities of the elders. When you put these lists together, much of the emphasis in verses 1 through 7 is on the character qualities. Let's consider this. What is not on these lists and what is on these lists? First, several things that aren't on these lists. Age. Older men should not automatically become elders, and young men should not automatically be disqualified. Business success is not on here either. Success in the world doesn't necessarily equate with leadership in the church. What else is not on here? Likeability. This is not simply a group that everyone likes. Before moving on, what is on these lists? Well, it's important to note, women are not mentioned in connection with the role of elder. And that's clear. Scripture is clear. And the office and the function of what it means to be an elder, overseer, pastor. Women are not mentioned here. No indication whatsoever that the position of overall leadership in the church belongs to a female. Remember, this is not an issue of equality or superiority. It's more like the relationship between a husband and a wife. As the husband is the head of the home and leads in the sphere, so elders are to provide leadership in the church. There is nothing wrong with that. Even though our world will say much to differ. I'm convinced that the natural reaction of godly women in the church will be to trust and respect godly men who lead us to accomplish the mission of Christ. I've not met a woman who just blatantly says, I want to pastor and shepherd this church. Or who would honestly enjoy it. And yet I see amazing, incredible, selfless women serving in different capacities within their God-given ability that God has called them to nurture, to serve in the season, to provide discernment at times in leadership. You guys have that. It's so obvious. And there's a beauty in that. When you consider the scriptures, what is required of elders? And I'll wrap up here in a bit. Other than being able to teach, these qualifications are intended by Christ for every member of the church. We might even say that the qualifications for being an elder simply revolve around exemplifying the character of Christ. Leaders in the church are to be models in the church. This is why Hebrews 13:7 says, imitate their faith. This truth ought to weigh on anyone who aspires to lead the church. So what will happen if the church imitates this leader? Let's look at each one of these questions and these statements. In his personal life, is he self-controlled? Is he wise? Is he peaceable? Is he gentle? Is he a sacrificial giver? Is he humble? Is he patient? Is he honest? Is he disciplined? That's just coming from the personal life. In his family life, is he the elder in his home? If he's single, is he self-controlled? If he's married, is he completely committed to his wife? If he has children, do they honor him? In his social or business life, is he kind? Is he hospitable? Is he a friend of strangers? Does he show favoritism? Does he have a blameless reputation? Not perfect, but above reproach. In his spiritual life, is he making disciples of all nations? Does he love the word? Is he a man of prayer? Is he holy? Is he gracious? In the end, it's important for all of us to understand, not one soul fulfills this perfectly. And yet, at the same time, each one of us has numerous sins to confess daily. However, elders ought to live lives worth imitating, lives that reflect the character of Christ. They need to know the word, teach the word, obey the word, so that others in the church will be instructed and spurred on to greater faithfulness. And I must ask, because I remember as a young boy being asked this question in my church when I was a youngin'. Is there anyone in this church that these qualifiers bring to mind? Do these qualifications bring to mind? When you consider your life, there's going to be a time where everyone has to ask, every man in this place has to ask the question, God, are you calling me to something? Are you calling me to teach? Are you calling me to preach? Are you calling me to answer the call? Are you calling me to serve? Am I a servant leader? Am I a leader who serves? When I consider this in the very tail end of the last few verses, it goes from elders to deacons. And I'm going to talk about the next Sunday. Because here's the truth. A deacon is one who will serve. A deacon is one who will go to the next mile and do what needs to be done so that the preaching and the proclamation of the word can be done. When you consider what it means to be a servant, a deacon is such that. When you consider the word of God and how God has laid it out, deacons lead the church in service, leading servants. The ones who take the initiative, the one who say, if no one's doing it, I'm doing it. And so when you consider God's word, my prayer for us is that in this 21st century church, that we would see men who would rise up. Maybe that's you, man of God. I remember when God called me to preach the word, I'll never forget, God called me into the ministry whenever I was 15 years old. Actually, I preached my first sermon whenever I was 13 years old. Didn't know what I was doing. The pastor made the sermon for me, and I was 8 minutes long. So, a lot has changed since then. But whenever I was 15, I knew the Lord called me into the ministry, and then I kind of decided, I'm going to go my own route for a little while. Thought that the Lord was calling me to be a chemical engineer. Went to Louisiana Tech University, 6 hours away from home. Was loving every bit of it. And then the Lord met me one night in December of 2010 at the age of 18. Oh, and the Lord got me. The knock on the door of my heart, Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. If you do not preach, it's like fire burning in your bones. If I do not utter the words of God, it's like fire burning in my bones. And I just couldn't stop in that moment from there. And yet, it's not about me. And that was the constant aim. That was the constant call, the constant reminder. It cannot ever be about the person God calls. It has to be about the God who calls. And God calls men to preach the word, men to teach the word. He calls men and women to serve the body. He calls us out to be faithful followers of Him. And the question for us is simply, are we answering the call? When He calls you, as you open the word and as you feel the gut check of the Holy Spirit within you, do you listen? Or do you just put Him on snooze? I think each and every single one of us, we have to ask those questions of ourselves. Every single one of us, we have to ask ourselves that question just simply of our service to the King. Are we serving Him? Are we loving Him? Are we adoring Him? Am I faithful to Him? Whether He calls me to be an elder or not, am I being aware of what I am looking for when God has now called me in this season and time? To look, to seek, to prayerfully consider whatever the Lord would lead. What does that look like? God, whatever that looks like, I'm going to make sure I'm aware. I'm confident that, Lord, You're going to do what You need to do. And yet at the same time, may it also be said of us that we carry the character of Christ wherever He leads us throughout this week, as we shine His light, as we get an opportunity to share the gospel with other people. May we be a people that's faithful to Him. Let me pray for you. Father God, we thank You for Your word. God, we thank You for this time, Lord, as we consider what it means to be a faithful leader, elder, pastor, overseer, as the church is encouraged on what to look for and to understand the weighty leadership, Lord, that the church is to bestow. That, Lord, You would rise up elders and deacons from within. God, that You would strengthen the body to move forward. God, that You would strengthen and ignite within the hearts of every single member, every single visitor, the call to carry the character of Christ. Because God, here's the truth, and the reminder is that You are truth. Your word says, as Jesus utters, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father. No one comes to You, God, except through Jesus. And today we say thank You. Thank You for loving us in this way, that while we were sinners, You sent Jesus to die for us. You sent Jesus to die for us because the wages of that sin was death. And yet Your gift, the gift of God, is eternal life through Christ Jesus, who loved us. He came, He died, He didn't stay dead, but because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have hope. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone here that does not know the hope, that they would acknowledge You as Lord and Savior, as my brother Gabriel did. And that they would seek to be a disciple maker who makes disciples. And Lord, who knows? Who knows? Maybe in the midst of decisions, Lord, You will rise up pastors. You will rise up deacons. You will rise up faithful church members who will seek Your word, seek Your face, seek to know You and to make You known wherever You lead us. God, be with every single family that's represented in this place. May every single thing done throughout this week be honorable and glorifying to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.